You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. For this edition of Food Friday, we're talking to a home cook who says she doesn't just cook to eat, she cooks to feel pleasure and optimism. She's with us now to share some of her principles and recipes for finding joy in the kitchen. You can join in, too. What recipes bring you the most joy? Is cooking a relaxing experience for you, a chore, maybe a little of both? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Alana Chernilla joins us now. She's the author of The Homemade Kitchen, Recipes for Cooking with Pleasure. She blogs at eatingfromthegroundup.com. Alana, thanks a lot for joining us today.
No, thanks so much for having me.
Well, I mentioned that idea that cooking is fun, pleasurable, but it's a job, a task, a grind sometimes. And you write your book, you feel kind of both sides of that.
Oh, I do. And, you know, it's who doesn't? I think cooking is one of those things that we all have to do. We have to feed ourselves and feed our families. And really, in this book, I tried to figure out what would happen if I try to always find my pleasure and my joy in the kitchen, because it's something we have to do. And, you know, we can call it work or we can call it play, but we still have to cook.
So how do we keep that in mind? How do we keep ourselves on task to cook with pleasure?
Well, I think a lot of it comes from, you know, being really honest with who we are in the kitchen and what we love. So, you know, there's so many images out there of perfection and so many messages about what we should be eating and how we should be eating. And I think, you know, taking that all in stride and really just staying connected with who we are, what we love, what are the dishes that we love to eat, that we love to make, you know, what are the processes, the smells, the moments that make us happy in the kitchen? And, you know, are we a slow cook or messy cook, or, you know, do we like to cook quickly, or do we like to always cook for people? I think really staying true to those answers, it's such a help in loving our time in the kitchen.
Yeah, I watch sometimes the cooking competition shows, and they're doing these fabulous things that I'd never in a million years try, and then getting dinged because the, I don't know, radicchio was too crunchy or something like that, that I don't even understand. You say, though, your first principle in the book is don't worry about those guys. It's start where you are. So what does that mean?
So that really just means taking stock of where you are in the kitchen. You know, like me, I work in food and I write recipes and I write cookbooks and I love to cook. But I also, sometimes cooking feels like such a chore for me. You know, I have two young kids and everybody wants different things. And I cook for work and I cook for my family. So I have to sort of say, okay, here I am. This is what I do. And, you know, how am I going to carry this through in a way that's going to make my days even better? So, you know, for me, that's just really assessing where I am and what I love. And I really encourage other people to do that too, to say, you know, it's not what other people tell you that you should do. It's how do you want to do this? How do you want to live this life and feed yourself?
And you start out with some humble kind of basics of cooking in the book, a few different ways to cook eggs and some basic ways to cook a bunch of different vegetables. Nothing fancy, just straight up eggs, vegetables. And you say once you've got that, you can make some meals that you can impress yourself with.
Yeah, you know, so many of these basic techniques, they just become these incredible building blocks in the kitchen. And I think, you know, once we get these techniques under our belt, how to perfectly steam a vegetable, how to cook your grains in a way that they're delicious, how to poach an egg, you know, how to make pasta from scratch, even, you know, some more complicated things like that. These are all really simple skills that anyone can embrace in the kitchen. And once you have them, you can really build any meal that you want.
Well, can you talk us through one of my favorite things that I just stumbled onto in the last few years, oven roasting vegetables? This has made vegetables I like better. It's promoted some vegetables from so-so to really good. So talk us through the basics of oven roasting a lot of different vegetables.
That is my favorite way to cook almost every vegetable. And especially as we're coming into the fall and winter, most people, they roast potatoes or they roast carrots, but they've never roasted broccoli or they've never roasted bok choy. I mean, there's all sorts of vegetables out there that you can just brush with a little bit of olive oil, and you want to put them usually in a pretty hot oven at 400 or 425 and roast those vegetables until they get a little caramelized on the edges, until, you know, the sugars come out, and it just brings out a whole new flavor in the vegetable. And I found people just turn from vegetables they thought they hated. When you just roast them in the oven, a little olive oil, a little salt and pepper, or roast your cauliflower up with, you know, maybe some cumin seed and a little salt and pepper. It's just, it's amazing. You can eat an entire tray of cauliflower without even knowing it. It's such a treat.
Talking to Alana Chernilla. Her new book is The Homemade Kitchen on this week's edition of Food Friday. Before we get to some more advanced recipes, I want to talk about recipes for getting the next generation interested in cooking. You write about that. You're trying to get your kids to love making food, too. What have you been doing? What works to get the kids into this?
Well, you know, it's been a process in my family. You know, my kids have always wanted to cook, but I think a lot of families run into this issue where their kids want to help out in the kitchen, but of course they come walk in at 6 o'clock when you're just trying to get dinner on the table and everybody's hungry, and kids tend to be slow and they tend to be messy. And, you know, parents write to me all the time and they say, oh, I want to cook with my kids, but I feel like I'm a bad parent. I just get so impatient, you know? So, you know, judging based on that moment, I have started really advocating for letting kids cook on their own. And I think this is really how they learn their way through the kitchen. And of course, you want to be safe and, you know, be there to help with the knife, help with the oven, you know, depending on the age of your child. But I find that when I let my children, you know, they open up a cookbook, they choose their menu, they decide what they want to eat. And as long as they have a really nice expansive time in the kitchen to figure out their way through the timing of a meal and how they want it to work together, they really are so capable of creating that meal. And the pride they feel as they're feeding their family, I mean, there's nothing like it. It is so amazing to let kids just feed people, and they learn how to cook, and they learn that joy of feeding the people they love, which is something that will carry that with them forever. And so that's really my main, you know, my main advice when I'm talking to parents about helping their kids come into the kitchen is let them own the process.
My kids haven't gotten too much into cooking, except they'll make their own eggs. And actually, it's just started happening where I'll offer to make eggs and they reject it. Like, no, Dad, you don't do it right. So have you hit any recipes yet where mom's is viewed as inferior to the kids' version of it?
Well, you know, my older daughter, who's 12 now, she makes a really good baked macaroni and cheese.
Uh-huh.
And she usually uses, I have a recipe in my first book, The Homemade Pantry, for baked macaroni and cheese. And she started off with that recipe, but she has a few twists and turns that she's included on her own. And she makes such a good macaroni and cheese. And often I'll say, oh, do you guys want baked mac and cheese tonight? And she'll say, yeah, but how about if I make it? So I think she's surpassed me in that one. She's really good at the cream sauce.
Let's get into a recipe you shared with us. We've got this one up, by the way, on the Central Time Facebook page, a butternut squash pasta with bacon and sage brown butter. So this is a great fall recipe, it sounds like. Talk us through it a little bit.
Yeah, this is a really nice recipe because it's really simple in its preparation, but it's got a few little elements that just fancy it up. And I love pasta for quick weeknight meals, and you know, you can really get this out on the table pretty quickly. And so what I do is I cube up a butternut squash, and then I roast that in the oven. And at the same time, I'm actually roasting some sliced up onions, and I'm roasting the bacon. So I'm cooking the bacon in the oven. Mm-hmm. So all of these elements are all happening in the oven together. And while that is roasting, I'm boiling water for pasta. And then I'm also just browning a little bit of butter, which is, people think that's a fancy thing to do, but it's really, really simple. And it turns melted butter into something nutty, wonderful, and the flavor totally transforms. So I brown a little butter, and then at the end, I toss together the pasta, the bacon, the butternut squash, the onions, and at the last moment in that brown butter, I throw a few fresh sage leaves in, and they just crisp up, and they turn into crispy, amazing little treats. And the whole thing gets mixed together with a little bit of pasta water, which is really the secret magic ingredient, and some Parmesan. And it's, you know, it's buttery, and it's wonderful, but it tastes, that sage and the butternut squash, it's like the taste of fall. If you could really put it all into one bowl, that's it. Well, it's a great recipe.
And butter, bacon, and sage, your house must smell awesome for like days.
Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong.
We're talking to author Alana Chernilla about her new cookbook. It's called The Homemade Kitchen, Recipes for Cooking with Pleasure. And we want you to share your recipes for cooking with pleasure. What makes you love cooking? What's your favorite thing to make? And how are you trying to pass a love of cooking to your children or maybe your grandkids? Share your recipes, your cooking principles at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page where you'll find that recipe we were just talking about, butternut squash and pasta and bacon and sage. We'll get to your calls, continue the conversation after a look at some of the latest news with Kristen Durst. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday conversation now about cooking with pleasure with cookbook author Alana Chernilla. Her new book is called The Homemade Kitchen. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you enjoy cooking? Do you love cooking? Is it one of the things in your life that gives you pleasure? Is it a joy for you to make food for yourself and for your family, for friends, for other people? What do you love about cooking? What recipe is the most fun for you to make? And how are you passing on your love of cooking maybe to your kids or grandkids? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Alana, one thing I love, a recommendation in your book, is keep a lot of your scraps. And you'll be able to use them for other stuff down the road. So what kind of cooking scraps should we be saving and repurposing later?
Well, there are so many treasures in our kitchens that we're used to throwing away. And, you know, start with squash seeds. That's one that people, you know, are just starting to catch on to. So especially with, you know, Halloween coming up, those, you know, not the jack-o'-lantern seeds, mm-hmm. but, you know, if you can get them out, you know, before you carve, those are great. Or any pumpkins that are in the store right now, you can just scoop out those seeds and roast them up, and they're a great snack. And I also love to save peach pits, and they make wonderful tea. It's like sweet and almondy and wonderful. You can save your chicken bones and beef bones and use them for stock. And I like to save those in bags in the freezer along with tops of leeks and skins of vegetables, and they make fantastic stock. So there are so many treasures in the kitchen that we can start saving, and it saves you money, and it also just brings more flavor and wonderful things into your kitchen that you might not know are even there.
And you mentioned the pasta water, too. That's something I've done, you know, just freeze that up, and then it adds like some depth or texture or something to soup stock.
It's true. So when you cook pasta in pasta water, the water absorbs all that starch from the pasta, and often you're salting the water, too. So you get this really, you know, thick liquid that adds body and, like you said, so much flavor to sauces. It's really a secret ingredient that can improve any sauce or pasta dish or soup. It's a wonderful ingredient to save.
One hazard is that you could get made fun of by, I don't know, your spouse for having all these weird scraps and frozen water taking room in the freezer. Have you encountered this? I have.
Well, I have my own little portion of the freezer, and my husband knows that, you know, if he sees bones and vegetables.
Why are we freezing compost?
Exactly. He's gotten used to it.
Well, another tip you have is a lot of the stuff you might buy packaged at a store, you can make your own. Like you say, hey, if you've got milk and some cream, you can make a lot of your own dairy products. What kind of things do you do?
Well, that's really how I got started in food. I got started making my own yogurt, and I just loved the process so much. And now, you know, I actually teach home cheese making, and I make my own ricotta cheese and mozzarella. And in the book, I have a recipe for feta. That's one of my favorite cheeses to make at home. I make goat cheese and, you know, just all the really simple, fresh cheeses. They don't take much aging or any special equipment. They're really easy to make. And especially once you start and you learn the technique once or twice, it just can become one of those recipes that you make in the kitchen. Those are great recipes to have in your repertoire.
I know I'm here in Wisconsin, but making my own cheese seems like one of those things. It's just too complicated. I'm not going to do it. You say it's easy. How easy, really?
Well, there is nothing as easy as ricotta cheese. So you start with a good half gallon of milk, and I know you have a lot of good milk there in Wisconsin. So you start with good milk, and you add some lemon, and you just bring that mixture up to a high heat slowly, just stirring every so often, and you'll see the curds will separate from the whey. And you can just let that cook while you're, you know, if you're making lasagna, you can be making your noodles and making your sauce and let that ricotta make itself while everything else is happening. And after about 40 minutes, you're going to end up, you give it a stir, and really the ricotta just comes right out of the whey. You strain it through a strainer, and you end up with the silkiest, most delicious cheese. It's just wonderful. And because I make it with lemon, it has a really faint lemon flavor, which is so nice. And yeah, I mean, it's barely a recipe. It makes itself so easily.
We are talking about cooking with pleasure. Alana Chernilla is our guest on this edition of Food Friday. She is the author of The Homemade Kitchen, Recipes for Cooking with Pleasure. She also blogs, by the way, at eatingfromthegroundup.com. Another recipe from your book, we'll stick with our squash theme to go along with the one we have on the Central Time Facebook page, a stuffed winter squash, a total fall recipe there. Tell us about that one.
Well, that's a really great way to use up a lot of scraps in the refrigerator. So this is a great recipe if you have some leftover grains, like maybe you made rice for dinner the other night, or it's great with some other grains like millet or farro or whatever you're into in the kitchen. So if I have some already cooked grains, what I'll do is I'll start with a couple of winter squash, and I like to use the smaller varieties like acorn or dumpling, or sometimes if you have access to Carnival squash, which are really beautiful. They're all striped. And I just cut those in half, scrape out the seeds, save those seeds for roasting. And I roast the squash first. And while the squash is roasting, I'll just cook up a mixture of that cooked grain and a little bit of chopped apple, some leek. And I like to use chorizo, so I have a nice spice in there, but you can use bacon or any other kind of sausage. Or you can just use pecans if you're wanting to make a vegetarian version. And so I'll make up that mixture. Once that squash is roasted, I fill the hollows of the squash with that mixture, and it really makes its own little bowl. It's so good. So I fill it to overflowing, top it with a little bit of grated cheese, put it under the broiler for just a moment, and then you end up with these beautiful little edible bowls of really great filling. And the apples, the leeks, the squash, it's so good. And you know, serve it with a little salad, and it's just a lovely, lovely dinner for this time of year. It's wonderful.
Let's bring in a caller. We've got Tim on the line in Appleton. Tim, hi.
Hello to you.
What do you got for us, Tim?
Well, it's what I call comfort food fish chowder. I start out with some onion and garlic in a saucepan. I then dump in one box of Kitchen Basic chicken stock. I put in some fresh tomatoes. I put in some parsley, dried parsley, dried celery leaf, and dried basil. And then I add some maybe a cup of heavy cream. Then I do that, and I boil while this is heating. And then it's on its way. So then I dump the one stick. I'll cut up haddock.
Yeah.
Tim, that sounds fantastic. And he says it's his comfort food. Is that the most fun thing to cook? Because you know it's going to be great to eat whatever your favorite comfort food is, Alana?
Yeah. You know, I think we all have those dishes that just put us at ease, and especially like when we need it the most. I mean, I think it's so great to have those things you know are just going to make you feel better. And that sounds like a really great one.
Well, we started, Alana, with your principle, start where you are. Another one I wanted to get to that you say is important to keep in mind, do your best and then let go. So why is that important to keep in mind in the kitchen?
That's my favorite. Well, for so many reasons. And I think, you know, that principle really came about from some, you know, a lot of conversations I've had with readers on my blog and over the years about all the different input about what we should be eating, how we should be feeding our families, you know, what's dangerous, what's going to make us fat, what's going to make us sick, you know, all these questions. And, you know, my answer is always that these are really good conversations. We need to think about what we're eating and eat consciously. But in the end, really recognize that joy is a nutrient in itself. And just all that stress around food can be as bad for your health as any ingredient that we're worried about. And so just remember that if you're finding a way to make dinner, if you're, you know, however you're making it work in your own kitchen, do your best and then let go. Know that you've done your best. And I think, you know, that this premise also comes in handy when you're dealing with picky kids in the kitchen or, you know, any sort of situation where it just feels like, oh, how do I make this better? And just, I think it's time for us to go easy on ourselves in the kitchen. We need to just say, you know, I'm working hard, I'm doing my best, and I'm just going to sit down and eat dinner, and let's just call it a night.
That's a great place to leave it. Thanks to Alana Chernilla, author of The Homemade Kitchen, Recipes for Cooking with Pleasure. Check out a recipe on the Central Time Facebook page.